1206 and time for Artcentric Midday Matters here on WBOY. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio with my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And you know, it is the first Friday of the whole New Year, not just the first Friday of January. Mm-hmm. That means we're suited up in our Penn Hollow Perspective regalia and ready for a double good first Friday trek through local artcentricity with our favorite artcentric superhero. That would be Steve Penhollow. His New Year's mission, he tells me, is to lighten winter's sadness. And for that, in the first segment, he'll be rapping with Sankofa about Sankofa's exciting Kickstarter project. And then it's Sunny Taylor in the guest seat getting retro and sharing the details of C2G's upcoming Janis Joplin Tribune concert. But first, as we just love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip to suggest. That's a sparkling gem among the treasure trove of this weekend's post-holiday artcentricity. You really might want to sample. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is a show that's going on at the Brass Rail tomorrow night. That's Saturday, January 5th. It's The Spare Change, Big Money in the Spare Change, a band called Man Grenade from Cincinnati, and Fossil Generation. So that's at the Brass Rail. That's on Broadway near downtown. And again, that's Saturday, and I would suggest probably showing up around 10.
That sounds like a good time. And, you know, actually, my personal favorite pick would dovetail right into that. They could actually hit both if they want. And live music, it's Clusterfolk. They're playing at the Friendly Fox, and those in the 07 like to say that's the social hub of Southwood Park.
It is. We love it down there.
We are so proud of that. And Clusterfolk invites you to come hole up with them in this awesome little den. Get it, Friendly Fox, little den. That's 4001 South Wayne.
Yep.
They are playing from 6:30 to 8:30. That is tonight, once again, Clusterfolk at the Friendly Fox. So lots of music happening. Mm-hmm. I know things have calmed down just a little from all of the holiday madness. We have a few days of Christmas left, but and plenty of life things to do. Mm-hmm. We would, as we go on and have, as promised, the art man, Steve Penhollow, join us in just 1 second. We would like to hear from our listeners, just put that out there, their own personal art-centric secrets for lightning winter sadness. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would say, well, Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year to you all.
And just what bright perspectives can you share with us to lighten winter sadness?
Well, somebody put something on the Facebook page, I believe, which I think has always been, whenever anybody asks me this question, I always suggest that they go to the Botanical Conservatory, because it's, man, standing in that jungle room is a good antidote for
<It is>.
Standing outside in the freezing cold.
For the brain and the soul.
I've always tried to figure out how could I sneak a recliner in there or something and just kind of sit there all day. And,
any luck so far?
No, I haven't. I've tried. I've had to leave it outside. But yeah, I think that is just a fantastic idea. It's just a great place to go to.
That's a good point. I mean, any time of the year is fantastic, but it definitely lightens winter's sadness.
This
and that's
time
the
of
point.
Year, definitely. Yes. Absolutely.
In the meantime, we don't have to look any farther than to your direct right to
see
a little bit of
exactly.
bright light shining there.
Yes, we have Stephen Bryden, a.k.a. Sankofa, local hip-hop artist, who's got an exciting project he's working on right now. But to tell me a little bit about your background, first of all, you taught in China, you hiked the Appalachian Trail. Where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Australia,
okay.
A city called Geelong, which is about an hour's drive away from Melbourne.
Oh, interesting.
So way down, kind of, if you go any further, you're in the water on your way to Tasmania.
Interesting. How did you end up in the States?
My parents were both born and raised Southern California, Long Beach and San Diego, respectively. And they got married in college. And when they graduated, there were no teaching jobs. And the Australian Department or the Victorian Department of Education called up my dad. Or they were listings for jobs down there. And so my mom and dad essentially took a one-year contract. Mm-hmm. Airfare paid down there. Year came up to the States. I got baptized and all that in Long Beach, and still no jobs. Then again, the Victorian Department of Education said, hey, we got a full-time gig for you. So we were down there until, you know, my dad got sick and died.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. How old were you when you came over here?
I was 14 years old.
So you have a good healthy memory of Australia.
Yeah, it's as valid as any memory tends to be.
Yeah, right. It's true. Over the years. So how did you find the States when you came over here? Was there a tough adjustment?
Well, I mean, considering I was coming to the United States middle school age, you know, which is already an awkward phase, and then having an accent, everyone's like, oh, do you know Crocodile Dundee? Do you have a pet kangaroo? Do you have a pet koala? But other than that, I mean, it was great. I'd never seen a combination lock before, so the concept of having a locker, because in Australia I had school uniforms and had a school bag, and my locker was tiny. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep stuff in your bag. But having this locker and like three stories in the building and all this other stuff, it was quite a change.
Yeah.
But it was a great change, because then I got to see snow. And in Minnesota, there was a lot of snow.
So tell me about your beginnings as a hip-hop listener and a hip-hop artist. I mean, how did that all come about?
It was back in Australia. I was listening to either Australian Top 40 or American Top 40. I can't remember which one. And my mom and dad had a spherical radio that almost looked like a white Sputnik. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a shower, and I heard a song, and I'd never heard anything like it before. And believe me, I heard a lot of music in my household. Mom was the kind of person who'd always have a record, you know, vinyl, playing, and she'd be dancing, much to my chagrin when I'd come home with a friend after school. And I'd never heard anything like it before, and that turned out to be a song called Stutter Rap, which turns out was by a group named Morris Minor and the Majors. Now, they're a spoof act.
Oh.
And they were spoofing the Beastie Boys, which could arguably say at the beginning of their career were already a spoof act.
Right.
But then it went from there to Parents Just Don't Understand by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And I was just entranced. And then watching, you know, Run DMC walk this way with no shoelaces walking down those steps in the video, you know, I was hooked.
That's great. That's great. So when did you start writing your own raps?
Oh, man. Much later.
Yeah.
Much later. Probably... And here are the nerd origins of the whole thing. When I was writing raps, it was because I was in college and we had to use the internet, because one of my professors was like, oh, you must use the internet. Mm-hmm. Back then, the internet was something new, because I'm that old. And I found these websites where other people liked listening to rap. And honestly, when I moved to the States, I was one of two guys in my school who listened to rap. Mm. And this is back when rap was on tapes.
All right.
And everything. So I found all these other people, and they're like, oh, and they're writing rhymes. I had no concept of meter, rhythm, count, any of that stuff. But the idea that I could just post all these words and these thoughts was amazing. So I did that for a long time, never considering, oh, yeah, I'm actually going to record these. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun exercise to explore the possibilities of ideas.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So flash forward to when did Sankofa come about? When did that persona come about?
Well, that was one of my screen names.
Yeah.
My various screen names on these message boards. And when I was in China, I realized that all this writing I'd done, and believe me, I had way too many words. I had fireproof safes full of words because I didn't want to lose these grand ideas.
Right.
Never mind the fact they're all horrible. But after I came back from China, I determined I wanted to go visit and learn how to deliver my thoughts.
Right.
So I visited my friend over in Sweden, given name Samuel Jazelius, rap alias Casualty, and he taught me the basics. Now, it sounds weird that I'm visiting someone in Sweden to learn an art form that started, you know, in East New York. But if you listen to this dude talk, you would never guess that he was from Sweden. But yeah, he taught me the basics. So that would have been about August of 98.
Right.
Or September, I think. That's when I flew over to Sweden and we recorded the first song, which by pure luck and happenstance ended up being on vinyl and was like one of the region's bestsellers for X amount of months.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy.
That's great. So what does Sankofa mean?
Well, Sankofa, I had a previous screen name when I was writing, posting these raps online. And one of my friends, God bless him, not like I'm cooler than anyone, but he came up with my name. He's like, hey, no. I'm not even going to tell you the name. That's how corny it was. And I'm like, yeah, I've got to get a different one. And I had a subscription to Vibe magazine way back when, so that got me on the demographic mailing list for young African-American male. Now, at the point, I was young, I was male, but I was and still am to this day white.
Right.
And in the mailing, it was trying to sell me this magazine, and it introduced the concept of Sankofa, which is an Akan term meaning learning from the past and building for the future. Mm-hmm. And I felt like philosophically that suited me very well. And seeing as I couldn't take like Charles Bronson meets Winnie the Pooh and turn that into my name, then I figured Sankofa would be a good match.
That's great. So you ended up in Fort Wayne in 2000, was it? Around there?
Thereabouts.
And you came here. Your mother moved here, right? That was mm-hmm. And why did she come to Fort Wayne?
She originally came here because she was going to marry some dude.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, fortunately that didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much broke at that point, having hiked the trail and all that stuff.
Right.
So I was like, no, I'll start over in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, right. So how did you find, when you came here, how did you find the hip-hop scene? What was it like back then? And was it hard to kind of root that out at that point? Or
honestly, I didn't find it. It found me.
Right.
Because what I did is I was bored enough that I volunteered. And one of the places I volunteered, as Norm will attest to, was Access Fort Wayne.
Oh, okay.
And I volunteered a lot at Access Fort Wayne. And sometimes I was so bored and there were no gigs that I'd check out a camera and I'd talk to it. And I called my show, short-lived, goofy though it may have been, show called Shoes and Movies. And I just talk about whatever, sitting in a rocking chair, and talk about shoes and movies, and happen to talk about some rap now and then. And some of the members of the local community, Glide, MSG, DJ Image, Pringles, they saw it, and so they tried to track me down.
Right.
And, you know, it came and grew from there.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, who knew that just being bored and silly would translate to being able to be part of an artistic community?
Right. When was your first, would you say, sort of public performance in Fort Wayne?
Oh, man. It was probably Glide's Revenge, or not Revenge, sorry, 32 Deadly Masters,
right,
which was hosted at Come to Go. That was an amazing event. I had no concept of performance,
right,
breath control, any of that. It was an unmitigated awfulness. But on the bright side, there was a battle section of it, and though I didn't, you know, go very far, people were like, oh, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And so that helped me get my foot in the door a little bit further.
Right.
I'd like to remind our listeners that this is a very art-centric edition of Midday Matters, as we do every Friday. And the first Friday, it is a Steve Penhallow perspective that we track, and we are having so much fun lightning winter sadness with Steve's guest this segment, who is Sankofa. We admire your candor and your sense of humor, and also your ways. You're really providing ways that you took charge of everything and lightened your own winter and any other season sadness. Any regrets before Steve goes on?
Regrets as to what?
Being here, doing what you're doing, not doing something else.
No, not at all. I am, like, from the death of my father to everything else, I mean, it has all led to a better place. And I have an inherent optimism in that things, well, in my past, things have worked out for the best, and things continue to work out for the best. I mean, if you would have told me back when I was in seventh grade in Australia that I'd be rapping in Fort Wayne, married, a father of some redheaded awesomeness, you know, 18-month-old magician, and teaching and just content. So no regrets.
That's great. So if someone came up to you who didn't know a lot about hip-hop or pretended to know a lot about hip-hop, and that doesn't describe anyone in this room, and said, what kind of music do you make? I mean, how do you describe to somebody who's kind of outside of it what kind of music you make?
I don't. Honestly, I would much rather people not know I rap. I would much, because there are so many preconceived notions attached to what a rapper is.
Right.
That I prefer people to get to know me and then later find out, oh,
yeah,
you rap?
Right.
And I was just thinking about the other day, daughter of a friend's friend, you know, she'd known that I'd rapped all this time, but she finally saw me perform. She's like, oh, you're good. Like, well, thank you. I've been working many years at my craft. But I suppose the easy answer is, I don't know, go to YouTube, look up a song.
Right.
Go to a website, listen to it, make your own judgments.
Right.
Because I can't describe it. I've been rapping 14 years, and over those 14 years, my approach to music has changed dramatically.
Right. Now, how has it changed? I mean, how would you say it changed from...
Well, at the beginning, I was intent on cleverness.
Yeah.
I wanted to cram wordplays and ideas in.
Right.
Now I'm more interested in music reflecting life right. than I am getting across some, oh, look how clever I am because I made this three-layered pun and put it in this line where I said it so fast you couldn't understand it anyway.
Yeah, right. Right. So what, looking back on the last 12 years or so, what in terms of your rap career, what would you say some of the highlights would be? I mean, I know there was a, I remember reading about you diving into the Fryman Square fountain during a performance once and that kind of stuff. That's certainly memorable.
Yeah, that was actually one of the first time. I'd say, and this will be the cornball moment, so you can, you know, put the little cornball parentheses around it. I'd say the best thing that rap has done so far is Jen, who at that time was not my wife, right. but is now my wife, she saw me perform, and she's like, who is this guy? Mm. I must meet this guy. And so she saw to it that we happened to be in the same place at various times, and then fortunately I was, let's see, smart enough to not be stupid, and it just grew from there. So from her seeing me perform that one time to where I am now,
right.
that would be the highlight. As far as like music highlights, Battle of the Bands.
Right.
Back with definitely Gary and just so much energy and fun.
Yeah.
CD release party I had with my friend Tom, rap named John Doe, where he came from California. Now, I lived with him for a while in California when we were doing music stuff. Because, right. you know, you move away to do music stuff.
Right, right.
But he came for a CD release party, and he's like, man, you know, I can't believe it. I'm so happy for you because you found this supportive artistic community.
Right.
I'm so jealous of you. You know, and I went all the way from the Midwest, from Minnesota out to LA, and then I came home.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't my home at the time, but it is absolutely my home.
Right now, yeah. So what, with this Kickstarter campaign, you decided you were gonna go out with a bang, right? I mean, you were retiring Sankofa, or I mean, describe what your mindset was on that.
My mindset was I have had an album in the process of completion for approximately 4 years,
right?
With the advent of, you know, being in a relationship, and then as of a year and a half ago, being a father, there's really not as much energy or time to commit to such things,
right?
And so my friend's like, oh man, that makes me sad. I'm like, how many albums have I recorded?
Yeah.
How many songs have I been on? What more do I need?
Yeah.
I'm perfectly content being a dad,
right.
you know, dad and a husband. But honestly, like until Arthur was born, like meeting Jen was just this astonishing moment.
Sure.
And marrying her and all that stuff. And then Arthur?
Yeah.
My son, it's like, he is the biggest pain in the neck ever, but it is totally worth it because he's also the most amazing magical thing ever.
Sure.
So I can't remember if I answered your question.
No, it's you have, and I've been, you know, I've been following on your Facebook, you know, just the wonderful posts about your son and you know, clearly you are head over heels in love with this kid and
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started this Kickstarter campaign, and mm-hmm. I think when anyone starts a Kickstarter campaign, they don't exactly know how it's going to turn out, and yours has been incredibly popular, and I mean, you are succeeding beyond your wildest imaginings, I'm guessing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, with each of my releases, I've planned and had like, oh yes, this is going to work. This is going to work. Well, it seems like now that I've finally gotten to the end, I'm using all the things that I've learned through the 14 years and applying them and being more patient.
Right.
And it's just, I'm super thankful, humbled, in awe of the success of the campaign.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I prepared for it. I've been building it up for years now. But to have it work to such a degree, to such an extent, it's astonishing. And I mean, what more can I say other than thank you?
Yeah. Where are you now in that? I mean, how much, you originally were going to raise 1,000, right?
I originally had set the goal for $1,200.
Oh, $1,200, yeah.
That's because I really needed $1,500, but I didn't think I could reach $1,200.
Right.
And then in 24 hours, it was $1,200. And then it went to 15. Then now it's up at like $2,400.
Yeah.
Think.
So that's how has that changed your plans for what you're going to do? I mean, I know you posted at one point that you have a plan B.
I have three secret plans.
Should we close our eyes while you tell us?
No. I have my regular secret plan. I have my secret plan, and then I have my top secret 2,000-plus plan. Now, I will say my top secret 2,000-plus plan experienced a hiccup because of sample clearance, mm-hmm. but that is getting taken care of.
Right.
And basically, once I earned any money beyond what I had asked for, I wanted to think of ways to thank the people who had supported.
Sure.
And so pretty much it's not I'm taking that extra, $1,200 and buying more shoes I don't need.
Right.
I'm using that to do things with the project and for things to give to people that I didn't even mention I was going to give to them.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. So tell me about some of the incentives that that people are bidding for here. Because I know there's a lot of stuff.
It's preposterous. is it okay if I mention the URL or the website?
Yes,
okay.
And I will note too that we do have this information on our Facebook, Midday Matters Facebook page, and we mention everything you can so folks can find it.
Sure.
Also.
There's a simple redirect to the Kickstarter page. It was my basically my old rap homepage, obeseamerica.com.
That was your fake label, right?
That was my fake label that enabled me to put out kind of real music.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry. What was your question again?
No, just some of the incentives.
Okay. Let's see. Bottle openers, custom toothpick holders, which I wanted for forever because I love toothpicks. Lawn signs, as seen during the election in which Tony Bennett was told goodbye. custom shoes.
There's a darn good
koozies.
Looking shirt there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shirts, notebooks, pens, magnets, post-it notes.
Wow.
Like a Lego man, restaurant trips or visits to local establishments that I love, like Ziffles or, you know, Bravas or King Euros, because I have a song called Jumbo Jet of Flavor, and it basically celebrates the food I enjoy, and a lot of the food I enjoy happens to be local food.
Right.
And so I thought it would be fitting, and as my friend Nate Utesh Medivari pointed out, you know, it seemed kind of right because it's like a Last Supper type of thing.
Right, sure.
Except I don't imagine I have a Judas out there or anyone enough to care to have that kind of meal with me.
That's great. So what is the timeline on this now? When you've been working on this for a while, so mm-hmm. it's not like you're going to just start doing it tomorrow or whatever. So when do you plan to have this magnum opus ready to go?
My friend who was mixing down and mastering the album, my Sonic Wizard, he just moved from Texas back to Oklahoma. He has three songs left to mix down and master, basically taking each part of the song apart, polishing it, and then putting it together into mosaic and making it sound prettier.
Right.
And so I just sent him an email this morning seeing what's his estimated time of completion for that. I have sent all the artwork, the photographs from Joel Farote and Jeremiah Meiser, and the lyrics, because I must have lyric sheets in this. I wanted to go out with something that had all the things I loved when I was a fan.
Right.
I want to be able to read along. I want to be able to look at the photo of the artist and better relate to that music and that experience and just become enveloped by it.
Right.
As far as a set date, the Kickstarter campaign concludes, I believe, in 6 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I basically hope that my buddy's got the album all mixed down and mastered and the artwork ready to go for my other friend, and then put it into press. So I'd say realistically, beginning of March. Ideally, I'd like it the beginning of February.
Right.
But we'll see. That's I'm always cool. eager, even with these long-range plans. I want to get it out to people.
Sure. Is there going to be a release party and that kind of stuff going on?
Yeah, I imagine I'll have a release party, just like my other release parties. Just a time for music with friends.
Right.
You know, just time to get together, probably at the rail again. You know, hopefully it'll be Definitely Gary, Left Lane Cruiser. You know, just friends who are awesome musicians
right.
who I've had a blast playing with over the years.
Right. Do you think there'll be any regrets? I mean, do you feel like that's your collection of work and you're fine to be done with it? Or do you think you'll kind of go back to it in small ways after this is over?
Well, Jen, my wife, says I'm not done.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my good friends say I'm not done because they want to make more music with me. I'm fine being done. Yeah. I just can't conceive having enough time and energy to work on another album.
Right.
I mean, sure, I could sit down for like half an hour when Arthur's asleep or something and come up with some silly words and record them in a whisper voice so he doesn't wake up from a nap. But as far as a concerted effort to work on an album, I don't foresee that. And as far as regrets, I don't imagine having regrets. I mean, I was at some point I was in this for, yes, I'm going to get discovered and, you know, I'm going to get a production and distribution deal and someone's going to pay me X thousands of dollars and I'm going to have vinyl and whatever.
Yeah, right.
It worked out to where I am now.
Yeah.
And where I am now is content and grateful.
That's great.
You also have Arthur, which is certainly a price and a lovely wife. What are you going to share musically with Arthur?
Probably nothing. I mean, much like with other people, I will let him come to the discovery at his own point. I'm not going to be that guy who when Arthur's friends come over, when he's old enough to have friends and have him come over. Oh, yeah. why are you playing one of these Lenny songs?
Old school, yeah.
Nor are you going to make him take rap lessons instead of piano lessons. I know that. But yes, it sounds like you'll be enjoying him and your words and your poetry one way or another.
Yeah, much like the philosophy of the school at which I teach, I want to give him the opportunity to explore and to understand through exploration and experience. I don't want to lead him down a certain path. I want to let him have those paths.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's fantastic.
Do you ever think about making music for children now that you are a father? I mean, making
the
some
rap
kind of
album
like,
for children? I'm sure they've done that. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
The reason I laugh when you ask is because my stuff is not at all user-friendly for grown-up listeners. And when I say user-friendly, I mean straightforward and easily digestible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't foresee anything that I could do that would feel like it wasn't a compromise of the craft I have worked on so long. Now, don't get me wrong. I sing to Arthur all the time. I'm just singing made-up songs of, you know, an action I may be doing at that time or, you know, how much his mom and I love him, stuff like that. But as far as like, hey, Arthur, I love you so much. Now, my album just might be like the second last song is a song about my dad, which is a very bittersweet song. And the last song is a song about Arthur. Now, as far as actually, you know, rapping for Arthur or making kids raps, no. This is a grown-up song about how important it is to have a child and how having that child is just, like I was saying before, it's the perfect reason to be done, the perfect reason to move on. If there is no better period or exclamation point or punctuation than Arthur.
Yeah, that's great.
This is our whole show of new beginnings, and so we wish you, yes, a wonderful grand finale. Folks can find out more, like I say, at our Facebook page, find you online. I know that too, but new beginnings, and we look forward to all of the art centricity you've shared and how you're going to go on. And thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more of Friday Midday Matters Art Centric in just a few moments.
Are you working for the weekend? Plug into the Friday Vibe. I'm Bill Forsyth, playing jazz of all types from all eras, plus blues, a little pop, folk, and rock to roll you into the weekend. The Friday Vibe, 7 to 11 on your home for jazz in Northeast Indiana, WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. The Indiana Air National Guard says A-10 Thunderbolt combat jets will remain at its Fort Wayne base under the new National Military Spending Plan. The Guard says the military plan signed this week by President Barack Obama will keep Fort Wayne's 122nd Fighter Wing flying the A-10s, quote, well into the future. The military spending bill was the latest step in Congress slowing the Air Force's plans to cut spending at many Air National Guard bases across the country. The proposal announced in February included retiring 20 of the A-10 jets operated by the Guard in Fort Wayne and replacing them with half as many surveillance planes. A Republican state senator is pushing for Indiana's public school students to start the school day by reciting the Lord's Prayer. Senator Dennis Cruz of Auburn has filed legislation that would allow school districts to require the prayer to be recited, but would also grant broad exemptions. The measure could have trouble moving its way through the legislature because it's been bottled up in the Senate Rules Committee, but it's part of a broader push by Cruz and other lawmakers to put religion in Indiana's public schools. Cruz sponsored a bill last year seeking to allow schools to teach creationism. He has altered his approach this year to allow teachers to question scientific principles like evolution. Indiana Supreme Court Chief Justice Brent Dixon wants Republicans and Democrats to work out a settlement concerning fines issued during House Democrats' walkout during the 2011 legislative session. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
The legal battle over the collection of fines handed down by House Republicans after Democrats spent 5 weeks in Illinois during the 2011 session is now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. During a Thursday hearing, State Solicitor General Thomas Fisher said the case is about hardball politics, but Chief Justice Brent Dixon says courts are not a political institution. Dixon wants both sides to compromise and resolve the matter together before the Supreme Court has to issue an opinion. Attorney Mark Giaquinta, who represents House Democrats, says he plans on making a phone call.
You better believe that our side will follow Chief Justice Dixon's instruction and try to determine whether or not there's a way in which to settle this matter.
Fisher says it's not necessarily his role to work out a deal.
Bear in mind, there are many elected officials involved in this, and I'm quite confident that they can address these things. When it's appropriate for them to do it, I'm sure they will come together and talk as necessary.
Neither Giaquinta or Fisher would talk about the specifics of what a settlement might include. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
You're listening to Midday Matters Art-Centric here on 89.1 FM. Now back to your hosts, Sarah D'Elia and Julia Meek.
Welcome back to Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:38. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio today with my art-centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
We love art centricity, and certainly the first Fridays of every month are fun, and this being the first Friday of the whole year, we are having extra fun with Penhollow Perspectives. And with Stephen, his next guest, it's definitely a retrospective that we'll be talking about. And in the meantime, I'd like to remind our listeners that we are seriously, lightheartedly sharing art-centric ways to lighten winter's sadness. Steve came up with a great one because he said you can always take a trip through the Botanical Conservatory. Mm-hmm. On break, I challenged him because I think it's just so darn fun. It'll be fun any time of year, but no matter where you are and where you're going, I would recommend going down Clinton Street and just crossing over that Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge in the evening because you get a whole light show.
Yeah, I didn't. I just did that for the first time the other night, and we were surprised and pleased. There's always things in Fort Wayne that make you go, wow, this is getting to be a really cool place.
And also, it's always been cool because of, among other things, the guest that sits with us in the studio now. And so I would like to welcome Sunny Taylor and say very honestly that lots of times when I'm sad, again, any time of year, but especially in the winter, I'll find a Sunny Taylor a bit of music to play, and that always lightens my winter sadness.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. That does the trick for you, huh?
Well, Sunny is here on behalf of C2G. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on over there, C2G Music Hall, and also I'll probably ask you a little bit about your own music as well at some point, and I'll surprise you so you'll be totally shocked.
I like surprises.
Yeah, that's nice. But tell me, we've got this Janis Joplin show coming up. Tell me about that.
It's a Janis Joplin tribute, and actually when we scheduled it, we didn't realize that it's actually scheduled on Janis Joplin's birthday.
Interesting.
January 19th.
How old would she have been?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Google.
You're asking me to do math right now, and that's not
going
to happen.
Older than Sarah's going to find it. Old.
It's going to be a great show. First time I had ever heard about it was through my producer.
who is actually married to Kat Bowser, who performs as Janis Joplin. And she's Kat Bowser is, you know, she's a great singer. She's a, I think she does more of like jazz and performs in clubs all over the mm-hmm. place. But this whole Janis Joplin tribute is very near and dear to her heart. Mm-hmm. And I've met Kat Bowser before, and she's very quirky, mm-hmm. Very spirited, and I mean that in a good way. not like how they refer to my 4-year-old. But she's a great gal. She looks like Janis Joplin.
Wow.
She looks the part. And I have not heard her sing yet, mm-hmm. but I have heard that she absolutely nails it.
Now, where's she from? Is she,
Oh, geez.
Not from around here, though.
Yeah, not from around here.
Okay. So this is something she goes around and does. And,
yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
and they've done this for quite a while. And the band lineup, well, of course, Kat's singing lead vocals. Brian McLeod plays drums. Mm-hmm. You may have known him from such albums as Sheryl Crow's Tuesday Night Music Club.
Very cool.
And Mitch Gallagher plays guitar, Dan Fisher on keys and organ, Chuck Surak will be playing saxophone,
Sweetwater
Brett Kelsey
guru.
On trumpet, yep, and John Hinchy, who actually did the string arrangements on my last album, is going to be playing trombone.
Oh, interesting.
It's going to be very exciting.
Interesting. So there will be, there are going to be other acts besides the main act, or they're all playing together?
No, they're all playing together.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
It's a full band.
Full band.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
great.
Which
That's...
Janis would have to love that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's great. So has Janis been an influence on your music at all, do you think? I mean, you're...
Nah.
Yeah.
my first show ever, I played me and Bobby McGee.
Right.
And my throat was not very happy with me afterwards because I was not a very I hadn't really honed my singing skills at that point. But
so tell me a little bit about, you know, C2G has been regularly bringing in national acts and doing some local stuff as well. Are you still involved in the open mic night?
Yes.
Okay. So that goes on. How often is that?
That's the first Monday of every month,
right.
Except for national holidays. And it's a great night. We have a very diverse group of performers that come in. Sometimes we have spoken word, comedy, acoustic, full bands, and it's all ages. And of course, we keep it, you know, respectful, respectable, or respectful. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's a really great night. I look forward to it every month.
Yeah, how many people usually show up for that?
Oh, geez. We usually have anywhere from 8 people signing up to like 18 people
wow.
signing up.
That's great.
And
that's great.
We usually manage to get out of there miraculously by 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
Since it is a Monday night, it's
sure.
a school night, it's all ages.
Right.
At least you know you can go and sign up and you'll be able to get out of there at a decent time.
Yeah. And I think now people don't know that C2G has an extraordinary sound system. I mean, it's like,
yes.
it's like, you know, one of the higher quality sound systems in Fort Wayne, right?
Yes, it is. It's kind of a... It's Fort Wayne's best kept secret, but it's the secret's getting out.
Yeah, right, right. So tell me about some of the shows that are coming up in the year. What are the big plans for C2G?
Well, of course, we've got the Janis Joplin tribute.
And that's on what's
January
the
19th.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you, Janis. And then Meet the Music is going to come back to C2G
very
again.
Nice.
That's on February 21st, right?
Mm-hmm.
And The Bergamot.
Oh yeah, they played.
Will be there February 23rd.
They have Fort Wayne roots, right?
I think they're from Warsaw.
They have Fort Wayne connections, and they're
right.
from maybe South Bend way. And yeah, they have Gray Star.
So we know they're good.
they are a breath of fresh air. Speaking of nice things for to like yeah. winter sadness,
right? Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. And then we've got Commander Cody coming back March 2nd.
I love Commander Cody.
And I am so, so excited that this year, in early March, I can look forward to the Whammies at C2G.
Oh, they're going to be at C2G this year.
Very nice.
Oh,
yes. That is
cool.
Very exciting.
Yes. Very nice.
I've been wanting to see that happen for a really
sure.
long time.
Sure.
Yes.
And I think Doug's very happy about that.
Yeah,
too, so.
Sure.
And let's see what else. Oh, Another Round is going to be here March 8th.
Okay.
You might know them as they were formerly Straight No Chaser.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With
oh,
all the,
okay.
the fun Christmas songs that
oh,
my kids
sure.
make me watch on
so
YouTube.
So now they're called Another Round. Okay.
Yeah, Another right. Round. And let's see here. Tommy Castro and the Painkillers will be April 11th.
Yeah.
And Victor Wooten.
Oh, fantastic.
Bass player extraordinaire will be back on April 19th. Possibly the 18th or 20th. We're still kind of working with them on that, but yeah, he's definitely coming back.
That's great. So what is the what's the philosophy over there at C2G? I mean, in terms of, like, you know, I know, how often are we bringing in national acts? Is there a plan afoot to beef that up, or what is it, the right mix? Because I know I've talked with Mark, and you know, he has compared his vision for the place to, say, the Arc in Ann Arbor, and mm-hmm. and you know, it may be more difficult to achieve in Fort Wayne because it's not a college town in that sense.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, we've already come a really long way, right, since the get-go. I'm not sure if we're ever going to be just like the Arc,
right,
because they've got acts almost every night of the week.
Sure, sure.
Right now what we're doing is just focusing on, you know, maybe two or three acts a month and really, you know, putting an effort toward those to promote them and do everything we can. We also have a lot of volunteers, and we
right.
don't want to, you know, burn them out by doing too
yeah,
many
sure.
concerts. But and I think that also makes it kind of special that, you know, there are only a few days a month that you can go
right.
and catch that really amazing show at C2G.
Right. Do you have, like, people who come? I mean, I know there are people who try to go to as many Arc shows as they possibly can, even
yeah.
if they don't, you know who the artist is.
I would if I could.
yeah, I would too. I would if I could too. So do you have people who show up to every C2G national concert, or people, groupies?
Yeah, we bring in people from, you know, neighboring states that
yeah.
hear about these concerts.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, and they end up coming back for all of the other concerts as well.
That's great.
It's exciting.
That's fantastic.
This is WBOI's Midday Matters, art-centric, and we are having such fun as we always do on the first Friday of every month as we welcome Steve Penhallow, and he brings us Penhallow pointers, and we're so happy to be talking with Sunny Taylor among all of her musical madness and mania that she shares with the community. She is talking about this Janis Joplin tribute concert coming up at C2G and many of the other things. Quick question, because for all of us who did grow up loving Janis and listening to her, and also always being amazed and pleased with C2G's lineup, such a fun retro. How is something like this received, especially amongst your age group and even younger as well as older, that really didn't hear Janis but can hear the retro?
I think that this will be received extremely well. We're expecting a really good turnout for it. There's always that, you know, even with the younger generations, even when I was growing up, I wanted to listen to the, you know, the cool stuff that my parents listened to back in the day. And I think that still continues to happen on through the generations.
And Janis really does live.
Janis
in the hearts.
Lives.
That's
yeah.
Janis lives.
I think I would find it hard to believe that any young person hearing her would not be immediately taken in. I mean, certainly there's some older music that young people could listen to and dismiss, but it would be very hard to dismiss Janis Joplin.
What child has not themselves prayed for a Mercedes-Benz?
Indeed.
I asked for that for Christmas, I'm pretty sure.
That's great. So what do you have, I mean, what else is going on over there in terms of, because I haven't been to a concert there in a while. Is there food and
maybe you should come to a concert
I
and
need
find
to
out.
Come. I need to
or,
come.
Or a live Meet the Music.
No, I should go
what
to a
What better
meet the
time
music.
To be there?
I know it's time. I will go and I will report
And
back.
Talk about groupies. I mean, Julia and I have our
Oh,
groupies.
I know you do.
Indeed.
I know you
if
have
like
an entourage.
Them, yeah.
Right.
<Just
Right.
kidding. laughs> Oh, I should say that Janis will be or would have been 70.
70.
So.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Have to be. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if she would still be able to do what she used to do, although it's possible.
I can see her kind of doing a bluesy, growly, Coco Taylor kind of thing.
But I can see her never wanting to be there at 70 doing what she was doing because she was just so in the presence.
Yeah.
She
embraced it all.
Definitely.
Like, we also do have enough time left that if any of you would still like to share with us your own personal art-centric ways to lighten winter sadness. It might be an event. It might be a walk through a park. And Sunny, I'll put you on the spot right now. Why don't you give us one of yours? Otherwise, folks can call us at 452-1185 or go to our website, nipr.fm, or put it right on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. But Sunny, what would be one of your special ways? And it can even be playing your own music.
Well, besides, rediscovering vitamin D.
Which doesn't get to your system easily in the winter.
I'd like to go back and hug the person who recommended that. Besides that, this is probably really comical to imagine, but I like to do yoga.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really not very good at it. But it's kind of hard to get myself going, mm-hmm. make myself do it, but I get through it. And after that, I am really glad that I did. It gives me more energy, keeps mm-hmm. the blood moving, keeps me from going crazy and yelling at the kids and the husband. So it makes for a much happier household.
Yes. Yeah. In the interest really of symmetry, do they still do yoga at the Botanical Conservatory like once a month?
I would hope so. And that would be a good question. And that's another thing that I think that Fort Wayne's and the area is very, very fortunate to have a lot of good spots to do mm-hmm. a variety of the of the yoga methods are represented. And you're right. You can even extend that to anything art-centric. My personal passion in that, not guilty pleasure because it's a proud pleasure, I guess, would be doing a pickup dance class at the Fort Wayne Dance Collective. That's another good one.
Oh, yeah,
and, of course, especially in the winter.
Yeah,
that's a great idea, absolutely. Especially if you're coordinated, which I'm not.
Or striving toward. And then Steve Penhallow managed to take off and keep off a lot of weight and incorporating all kinds of really well, I'd call them art-centric. Good health can have its own. You were a dancing and a moving.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in the winter, a lot of people have this, and I'm definitely feeling it these days, is this sort of, you want to kind of sequester yourself away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can fight that and get out there and do some exercise and move around, that is a huge, huge way to cope with some of the grotier aspects of the season.
Yes, and again, the live music, whether you're strictly a listener, whether you're a listener, but also maybe a shy performer as well, there are places for you like the C2G, the open mic night, mm-hmm. and then we have such a wonderful variety of local, regional, and national music coming our way, including C2G. I think that's so important, too. And that's a holistic approach to mind and body. Really,
yep. Forget about the winter blahs for a while.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a good
right.
show.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's turn to you. What's going on with you, Sunny Taylor? And,
oh, my.
Because I know you have some music that you've written. And are you heading into the studio anytime soon?
Actually, I'm not at liberty to say it this
time.
Oh,
okay. So no, that means yes.
It's not so much that. No, that just means that the details are not quite in place yet. Although I will say we are aiming for springtime to get back in the studio.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
I'm extremely excited. I have 17 songs that I need to trim down a little bit.
Right, sure.
Save some for mm-hmm. the sequel.
Right.
That's a happy list, though, you've been working on. I know you've been asking input.
Yes.
And yes, how could you go wrong?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm very excited.
How did that? Now, I remember talking to you last year about you were going to do some house concerts, and how did that go, or did that?
You know, it didn't take as well as I thought it would. Although I did play a couple of house concerts where I was able to raise more money to put toward the full-length album.
Right.
So it wasn't a total loss, but I just don't think it was the right time to do something like that.
Right. So how is this one being funded, since we've been talking about Kickstarter earlier?
Well, besides the fans and friends and family that have donated money.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, it's basically going to be coming out of my pocket.
Yeah, right, right.
It just has to be that way sometimes.
Yeah, sure, sure. So 17 songs. Have you written, are these some of these older songs?
These are new songs.
All new.
There may be two of them that are old but have not been recorded yet.
Right.
But yeah. Brand new songs.
So how does the creative process work? Because you certainly are very busy
I'm
as a mom.
I'm still not sure.
Yeah, I mean, where do you find time to do this stuff?
You know, that like one precious hour in the morning before the kids are awake when I'm caffeinated is usually the best time to dig in with paper and pen.
Right, yeah. Right. That's interesting. Are you one of these people who says, you know, you have the hour, so you're going to use it? Or, because, you know, some people wait for the muse to strike and some people.
The muse can be very temporary. Incremental,
right.
yeah, for
sure.
Me.
Right.
And but yeah, if it, you know, if I had a good night's sleep, or a particularly eventful week, you know, stimulating, meeting new people, new experiences, and things like that, then usually it comes pretty easily.
Right.
However, wintertime, it's a little harder. I do get kind of reflective. I turn inward a little bit.
Sure.
But I'm kind of done writing about the inward stuff.
Right.
I'm more focused outward now, so...
That's a good place to be. And yeah. Also, I think that one upcoming appearance that we can talk about is that Sunny will be gracing, I should say, our Meet the Music stage.
Yay.
In the next few weeks. And then she'll be part of our special Valentine Meet the Music, because that happens to fall.
That's great.
I can feel the love.
I can too. And I know everybody can too, just for the music. And again, that brings me all the way back around to C2G, because it's such a fantastic venue, literally and acoustically.
Yeah,
and
it's just a great. If you haven't been there, you have to go, because it'll surprise you.
Arguably the best place in Fort Wayne to see a show.
It really is. It's a just wonderfully designed, just a great place to sit and listen to music. Great stage, great. It's just
there's
fantastic.
Not a bad seat in the house.
No,
either.
And there isn't a bad seat in the house.
And
no.
There's not a bad vibe in the house either. That is so very nice. And mm-hmm. And that I will remind people. And it's a historic district. It's kind of just behind Parkview Stadium. Just south of that, but mm-hmm. it's 323 West Baker Street, and it is itself in a wonderful old refurbished building, and it's right by the old train station, so it makes a lovely time. And then the music one will hear there, be it old or new, be it local, open mic night, be it a retro Janis Joplin a tribute concert, be it Victor Wooten, be it everybody and anybody in between, you're in for a real treat.
Yeah, it's yeah, true. It is wonderful. So where else can people see Sunny Taylor and friends?
Coming up, well, I've kind of blocked out some time to get into the studio and or at least begin putting together and developing the arrangements of the songs to get mm-hmm. back in the studio. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought.
No, that's all right.
I get so excited talking about
going
to the studio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, so I haven't really been playing out much lately, but I will be playing at the historic Auburn Hotel on January 12th.
Oh, interesting.
Lovely
venue. That place
venue.
Is great.
Speaking
yeah.
of lovely
love
venues
yeah.
and the environment.
I love that place.
And I believe I'm going to be joined by Hope Arthur.
Oh, okay.
That day.
That's great.
She's an amazing piano player.
Oh, well, that's
singer,
interesting.
Singer, songwriter.
Interesting
very quirky.
Venue and interesting combo. That's great. That's yeah. great. Where do you play, like in the... lobby?
I'm not sure yet. I really need to call him back and figure
out
the details.
That place is great. I love that place. That's
yes.
wonderful.
And,
yeah.
and I hear tell it is right in the lobby, and I hear that's just another gem in the environment.
Yeah, it's just got a great ambience.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that place. Well, fantastic. So what are the, let's talk about the details.
Let's do the details one more time about the Janis Joplin show.
The Janis Joplin show is January 19th. Happy birthday to Janis. And show starts at 8 o'clock. Tickets are $12. You can either get those through the C2G website. Also, they are $15 a day of show.
Great.
It's going to be awesome.
Thanks, Sunny Taylor, for coming in once again for Midday Matters.
Thank you.
And thanks to Steve and to my partner in crime, Julia Meek. Mm-hmm. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Matt Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.